So yesterday we started Sefer Shmos. So the first few psukim are really have the way they're written have an intrinsic difficulty because you don't know what the psukim are after. Right, what's the objective of the psukim? It starts off Eilu Shmos Bnei Yisrael Bo Mitzrayim Al Eis Yaakov Vishu Veso Bo, and then it gives the list. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisrael, Zebulun, Yom, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher. Okay, I mean, the first question is, of course, why do you have to have this all together? Because already is mentioned already before that in other words, Vayikol called Nefesh, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Shimon, Nefesh was already mentioned before. Yeah, Veilish, Mos, Bnei, Yisrael, Mabon, Mitzrayim, Yaakov, Vono, Bechor, Yaakov, Reuven. And it goes through, and then it says, "Kol nefesh b'bali Yaakov Mitzrayim yotzei rechem avad neshev nei Yaakov kol nefesh shishim v'sheish v'nei yotzei v'shiyulah Mitzrayim nefesh shneim kol nefesh v'veis Yaakov bar Mitzrayim v'shivim." So the Torah already gave you the account. So why the repetition? So the pasuk, and then also the way the pasuk expresses it is strange. Vayhi kol nefesh yotzei yerech Yaakov shivim nefesh v'yosei foyo b'mitzrayim. So he said, what does the Yosef Hayav Mitzrayim? What is the Torah? If the Torah just wants to say that that there was this number in Mitzrayim, so why do you have to break it up between the Yotzei Yerech Yaakov Shivim Nefesh and between Yosef Hayav Mitzrayim?
Just the way it is.
The way the Torah describes the event, I mean, it's broken up in a strange way. If the Torah wanted to say how many people, well, fine. What does V'yosef Hayav Mitzrayim have to do with it? Why is he singled out? Yep. Question. Because Rashi raises the question. Yeah. So apparently, what the Torah is telling us is that the fact that they were in Mitzrayim was not simply due to natural circumstances. In other words, it wasn't simply a result of an ordinary developmental factors. But there was a special hashgacha that was responsible for this migration. In other words, the migration had to be that way. It had to be the way it was. So what is the, now if you look at the psukim, you see the psukim makes sense. In other words, what it means like this. Vayehi v'eilu shmos bnei Yisrael bo Mitzrayim al Eis Yaakov vishu v'yosef bo. It means the fact that they came was a hashgacha. They had to come to Mitzrayim. So therefore, there are two different comings to Mitzrayim. One coming to Mitzrayim was the coming to Mitzrayim of Yaakov Avonov. That was one. But v'yosef, it wasn't necessary for him to be included in this hashgacha of the migration, because for Yosef Hoya ben Mitzrayim, he was already there. The hashgacha, in other words, took care of this migration in two ways. One way was Yosef, that was an individual, that was, in other words, there was a goal over here. The goal and the objective was that they must at this moment be in Mitzrayim. How did they get there? How did the Ashgacha actually set this thing up? So the Ashgacha set up in two ways. One Ashgacha was for the Bnei Yaakov, that they had to leave Eretz Yisrael and come to Mitzrayim. But they all had to be there. You see, they all had to be there. So there were two migrations. One was the Yaakov of Avonov, and the other one was Yosef. So it wasn't necessary. Ve'ela shmos bnei Yisrael bar Mitzrayim eis Yaakov vishu v'yosef bo means the Ashgacha demanded at that moment, at that time, that Yaakov Avonov had to go down. Everybody had to be in Mitzrayim. So that was one one category of going down to Mitzrayim, that was one, but they all had to be there. So they weren't, there was one individual that wasn't included in the Hashgacha, in this Hashgacha. Why? Because he was already there. You understand what I mean? See, in other words, the psukim make sense only if you view the parsha as having a singular objective. And what is the singular objective? That at that moment, at that time, they had to go down to Mitzrayim. It was necessary for Klal Yisrael, for Yaakov Avonov, the group that at that time comprised Klal Yisrael, in a sense, it was necessary for them, for that group, to go from destination A to destination B. But the objective of the psukim are to tell you that idea. The idea of the destination is really what the objective of the psukim is. You understand what I mean? In other words, like this, if you understand the psukim as just telling you facts, so there's no need to split it up. Why are you splitting it up? Yosef is b'chol ha'shivim, right? There's no reason to split it up if it's just telling you a fact. But if it's telling you an idea, a concept, and the underlying concept is the destination of Mitzrayim, so then it makes perfect sense. In other words, what the parsha is telling is like this, that there was an objective that everyone should be in Mitzrayim. So therefore, this objective was fulfilled through how? Through one way was fulfilled, was Yaakov Vonov, that Eilish must be so by Mitzrayim. Eish Yaakov Ishu Veso Bo. So that's one, that takes care of one segment of the group fulfilling their objective and of the destination of Mitzrayim. But now they all had to be there, so there's still one missing. So Yosef was missing, but the Yosef Hoyal ben Mitzrayim, he already fulfilled this objective of the destination, because he was already there. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, the parsha only makes sense, literally, only makes sense if the Torah is trying to convey to us a certain idea. And what is that idea? The idea is that there was in the Ashgacha a specific objective. The Ashgacha had a specific objective. The specific objective was the destination. So if the destination is the objective, then the psukim fit in very well. Everything is perfect. It's telling you there was an objective, and what was this objective? The destination of Mitzrayim. The destination of Mitzrayim, how was it fulfilled? Fulfilled in two ways. One was Eis Yaakov Ishu Veso Bo'u. That took care of one segment of the group. Ishu Veso Bo'u, the Ashgacha made sure that this destination, this objective was fulfilled in that manner. But then if the idea is, if the objective is for the whole group to be there, and when I say the whole group, I don't mean numbers. I don't mean a quantitative idea. I mean a qualitative idea, that the entire group had to be there. So if one is missing, the whole destination is thwarted. You understand? The whole objective is thwarted. So therefore, you can't omit any individual. So Yosef, so there was one migration, which was under Ashgacha. Its objective it was the destination of Mitzrayim. But now, the objective was for the entire group. So therefore, how was one component of the group wasn't included in that Ashgacha? So how did the Ashgacha take care of that problem? The Yosef Hayav Mitzrayim. He was already there. You understand? So the Psukim makes sense only under that framework. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. So the question, of course, is, I mean, that's the literal interpretation of the Psukim. But behind the Psukim is an idea. I mean, so the Torah is trying to tell us an idea. What's the idea? The idea is that it was necessary at that moment that all of Bnei Yaakov, the Shiva Nefesh, must be in Mitzrayim at that time, at that moment. And this is the way the Ashgacha brought it about. One was through the whole concatenation of events from Yosef. That was one way the Ashgacha brought it about. That we read about in the Sefer Bereishis. And also that was one way. And the other way was Ishu Veso Bo. Two separate interventions of the Ashgacha. One was the whole concatenation of events with Yosef, and the other element was Yaakov. It's an interesting thing. You see that the Torah recognizes that this is so. There are two objectives. Because with regard to Yaakov is singled out. When Yaakov had to make the decision to come down to Mitzrayim, that was a separate thing. It wasn't simply a natural thing that he went down to Mitzrayim. Why? He didn't go down simply to visit his son. Because you see that before he went down...
Was it?
Yeah. It says, Vayisi Yisrael... So you see, it wasn't just a father going to visit his son. It wasn't just a story, a sipur hamaisa. It wasn't just an ordinary sequence of events. But it was a special ashgacha, and that's why it demanded a special marei hanevuah for Yaakov Avinu. It was a separate ashgacha. And it demanded a separate marei. The marei hanevuah breaks it up. And that's why the pasuk says... At first it says, Vayam Yisrael Ravo Yosef Ben Yichoy, El Chavar Ene B'Tarim Amos. That was a natural element. He wanted to see his son. But the Torah immediately tells you, but there was a special Marei HaNavua with regard to this Yerida to Mitzrayim. And the Marei HaNavua showed that this was a special Ashgacha. Al Tiro Merdam Mitzrayim, Yilagoy Godla Simcha Shom. Anochi Eridim Chom Mitzrayim, Vanochi Alcha Gamalo. So the Torah does that to show you again that this was had a separate value in terms of the eyes of the Ashgacha, so to speak. It was a special event. So therefore, the Eilash Mos Bnei Yisrael Bar Mitzrayimo is telling you now that the Sefer Shmos is beginning with this idea. The idea, if you don't understand the first parsha, it means you're missing something in the entire Sefer, because this Pasha is telling you something that you should know, that you could learn from with regard to Bnei Yisrael being in Mitzrayim. And that is that there was an Ashgacha of the destination of Mitzrayim, and the Ashgacha was fulfilled through two separate components. One was Yaakov Avonov Ishuveso Ba'u, and that was the Marei HaNavua Al Tiro Merdam Mitzrayimo, and the other was through the whole concatenation of events with Yosef and the Achim. But everything that happened had one objective. It culminated in one objective. What was this objective? The objective was that the Bnei Yaakov, the Shivan Nefesh, were found their destination, which is Mitzrayim. Two different vehicles, two different roads. In the framework of the Ashgacha, there were two different objectives. Practically, they were tied together, but in the framework of the Ashgacha, there were two separate elements. They had two separate elements, two separate Ashgachas. Okay, just a second. Yeah, really, what was it? It goes back, of course, even earlier. Where does it go back to? The Bris Ben Absarim. That was the Bris Ben Absarim. Ger Yezarcha Beretz Lo Lohem Vavodim Ve'inu Osom Arba Meos Shana Ve'gamas Agay She'evod Donoch Ve'achrechen Yetzir B'chush Gadol. So it really was a fulfillment of the Bris Ben Absarim. Yeah. That already Chazal mentioned by Yishlachayu Me'emek Chevron. So you see that Chazal tied that event, which means that the concatenation of events that took place with Yosef and the Achim fulfilled an objective of the Ashgacha. fulfilled an objective, and not, don't get lost in causation over here. I mean, there's a tendency to get lost in causation. Causation, forget about the Torah shows you many different causes for different events, but the question is, what has value in the eyes of the Ashgacha? That's a separate, limud. You understand? And the Torah tells you that that all the events that took place in the framework of the Ashgacha, there was one from the framework of the Ashgacha, there was one value, and what was it? The destination of Mitzrayim. And how was it brought about? Two different means. One was Ishu Veso Bo'u, and the second one was Yosef Hoya B'Mitzrayim, so he didn't have to be a part of that Ashgacha. So the Ashgacha, and when you're looking at it, it's a different, the point I want to make is it's a different view. Do you understand what I mean? In other words, when the Torah talks about the Ashgacha, the value of the Ashgacha, it's a totally different framework. You have to forget about the causes that led to it. That's a different study. But the Torah is giving you an overview in terms of the Ashgacha. What was this in the eyes of the Ashgacha? The eyes of the Ashgacha, there was one destination, Mitzrayim. It was brought about two ways. One was the migration of Yaakov Avonov, and second, Yosef didn't have to be a part of that Ashgacha. Why? Yosef Hayav in Mitzrayim. He was already there. So he fulfilled the Ashgacha through that. That is the way the Parsha reads. And I mean, it reads, there's no other way to read it, just literally, that's the way it reads. Okay. So the question, of course, is, if that's the case, so what is the idea? What's the idea behind that? If in the Psukim it gives you a certain direction, uncovers a certain concept, a certain idea. But what can we go further and just say, that's it, okay, so Torah is telling that's the objective, or there really is an idea behind it? So if you look... If you look at the... So what do we have to say from this? In other words, what can we say? And if we say something, of course, you have to have the support of the Psukim. You have to have the support of the Torah Shebachsav. The Torah Shebachsav has to support it. What do you see from this? You see one thing. That Klal Yisrael couldn't have been otherwise. Which means to say that it could not have happened that they first... What happened when they went down to Mitzrayim? What's the first thing the Pesukim describe? So it says... Yeah, the pasuk that describes it, the objective, it gives us a little more insight into this, is the last pasuk. V'nei Yisrael paru v'yishutzu v'yirbo v'yatzbu b'mod mod v'timolei ha'aretz osam. Okay, so what does that teach us? V'timolei ha'aretz osam. What does it teach us? Given the framework that we're establishing and understanding the parsha, what does the pasuk tell us really? So the pasuk tells us simply that it could not have been otherwise. In other words, it would have been impossible for the Ashgacha to allow it to occur differently. How could it have occurred differently? That they became numerous as a nation before, and then they went down to Mitzrayim. That would be impossible. You see, that's what the Pasuk says. I think that the Parsha, that's really the idea of the Parsha. The Parsha first tells you that the fact they were there was Ashgacha. The Ashgacha had to come about. One method was the Ishu Veso Bo. The other method, Yosef, hey, he was there already. So he didn't have to be part of this Ashgacha. And then what happened afterwards? Vayomer says, v'chol daru, then v'timolei ha'aretz osam. So therefore, if you stick very carefully to the Parsha itself, the Parsha is telling you something. It's telling you that it would have been impossible, since this was the Ashgacha, it could not have been otherwise. What is otherwise? Otherwise would have been this way. At first, there wasn't Shivan Nefesh. But first, they became great, numerous as a nation, and then they went down to Mitzrayim. That's what the Parsha is telling you. That could not have been so. And the question is, if that's what the Parsha is telling us, the question is why? You understand? And you see that that's so, why? You see again, what do you have another raya? That's so. That the Ashgacha was that they had to become numerous in Mitzrayim and not first numerous and then go down to Mitzrayim. Because of where? Where do you see it? Right in the marion of what I just mentioned before. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell in Vayigash? Al Tira. What does Pasuk say? Pasuk says, yeah. Pasuk, it corroborates it. In the Marian Avua, in the Marian Avua that I just mentioned before, Vayom Yaakov, Vayom Neini, Vayom Anochi Akel Akevich Al Tira Merdom Etzraimo. Why? Ki Lagoi Godol Asimcha Shom. Shom. It means they have to become a Goy Godol over there. Not over here. That's what the Nevuah was saying. And you see also, by the way, the Bala Goda also has that same idea. That the fact that they went down to Mitzrayim was a very specific hashgacha. The fact that, yeah, what? Vayer Mitzrayim, onus al pi adibor. Melamed shelo yorad Yaakov min Moshe, ela logor shon, was onus al pi adibor, was different than he thought. Was onus al pi adibor. It means that migration was a very separate migration under the Ashgacha, and it could not, and that's what really the Parsha is telling you, it couldn't have been otherwise. In other words, otherwise would be that first they multiplied outside of Mitzrayim, and then they went into Mitzrayim. That couldn't be. It had to be this way. Okay? That's how much, I mean, I think we could glean from the Psukim with security that there's no question about it. That's what the Parsha is telling you. Yeah. So the question is, a little further. Why is that so? That's the Pasuk. That's the Pasuk. Melamed shelo yorad Yaakov min Mishtakeh b'Mitzrayim, because it was a place of Zimo. Elo lo gershom shenema v'elo lo gebaretz banu. But the Ashgacha had a. It was onus al pi adibor. What does onus al pi adibor mean? It means it wasn't in his framework and his understanding. Wasn't commensurate with the event. That's what it means. Onus al pi adibor means his ideas were not commensurate with the event. The event was onus al pi adibor. The Ashgacha had its own objective. Yaakov Avinu had his ideas, but the Ashgacha had a different idea. It was onus al pi adibor. That's really what the Bala Gadol is telling you. That this was a separate Ashgacha. And what is the Parsha telling you? Amazingly, the way the Parsha in the few sentences, the Parsha is teaching you the idea that what? That it could not have been the other way. Namely, that first they multiplied and then they went down to Mitzrayim. That's what the Parsha is telling you. It had to be this way. So therefore, you had two, in the destination, in the objective of the Ashgacha, you had two migrations. One was Yosef's and one was Yaakov Vano. And it had to be that way and not, and Vatimolei Horetz Osom is the key. Then it was Vatimolei Horetz Osom and the Marian Avua. Altir Medem Mitzrayim ki Lagoi God Lasim Choshom. Had to become a great nation in Mitzrayim, not before. The question is why? I mean, why couldn't it have been the other way? Why couldn't you have it that they became a big, great nation and then they went down to Mitzrayim? It's the same thing. So they wind up in Mitzrayim anyways, and everything, Moshe Rabbeinu, everything the same thing. Pasuk says no. That's what the Parsha says. It could never have occurred that way. Yeah. And the Bris Ben Absalom corroborates that idea. I mean, that's why the Kosh Baruch tell it to Avraham Avinu, because he was saying this has to be this way. So what would have been different if it would have been the other way would not have really satisfied the objectives of the Ashgacha. Why would it not have satisfied the objectives of the Ashgacha? What's the answer? Yeah. In the Bris Ben Absalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just told him certain aspects of the Ashgacha, not details, but certain aspects of the Ashgacha of how it has to come about. Okay, it wasn't a revelation of historical facts. Was a revelation of a design, the design of the Ashgacha. Yes. Let me just elaborate a little bit. I mean, you're going to write the Rechia, but here's the elaboration. You see, the Klal Yisrael is really built on two systems. One system is the nation emerged in two phases, the way the nation emerged. See, a nation really is two things. It is a substance to the nation. You have to have members of the nation. The group, you need a group. And then also there's the ideas of the nation. Apparently the Ashgacha was that the way these two elements of the nation came into existence had to be separated. In other words, first we had the ideas of the nation. Usually in the normal development it's always the opposite. The group, the nation develops by itself as a group, as an economical force, and then they come up with ideas. And Klal Yisrael is exactly the opposite situation. That first the development was the ideas. The ideas was the first aspect. And that was Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Elokei Avram. So first the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was brought into existence, came into existence. But you could not have had at that time the substance of the nation. The substance of the nation had to be forged in Mitzrayim, had to be created in Mitzrayim, not as a nation, but as a people who lost really their whole nationhood, as the world would see it, and they were just low on a very low class, just dispersed among this greater entity, and just busy doing one thing, multiplying. Just multiply. And that's all. Why did it have to be that way? Because apparently, if it were otherwise, the whole objective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of creating the Am Yisrael would never have come into existence. Why? Because the identity of the nation would come into existence prior to Mitzrayim. So then we would look back at ourselves and say, we were a nation before. Unfortunately, we became slaves in this entity under this powerful government of Mitzrayim. And then, of course, we were released. Then we were released. What would be lacking if that would be the case? What would be lacking if that would be the case? So what would be lacking? What would be lacking? What would we be missing? What would we be missing? There's one word that we would be missing. Yes? In other words, what would be lacking is Geula. Geula would be lacking. In order to have the way it occurred this way, first there was the ideas of the nation, and then the substance of the nation, Batimolei Aretz Osam, it was just multiplication, then the Geulas Mitzrayim really created the nation. There was no nation before Geulas Mitzrayim, not even for a moment, you see. But if it were the other way, and if the multiplication took place prior to going down to Mitzrayim, then we would not be the nation, then there would be no Geula. We would not be the Am HaNigal. The whole idea of Geula hinges on this first parsha, on this first parsha. That we came into existence as a nation only through Geula. Only through Geula. There was never a nation without Geula. There was never a nation without Geula. And that's why, what is Sefer Shmos called? The Sefer Geula. The Sefer Geula. And that's why the Sefer Geula begins with this first parsha. Because this first parsha really establishes the whole idea of Geula. The parsha, the initial parsha, is teaching you that without this framework of the Ashgacha, Ace, it sounds like a cumbersome way for anyone to write a history, to say Yishu Veso Ba'ul, and then to say the Yosef Hoya Ben Mitzrayim doesn't sound right for a historian to write that way. Historically, there's no necessity for it. But if the history is Ashgacha's history, so it has to be written this way. Because the whole idea is that this is the Sefer Geula, and the Sefer Geula begins off with the first parsha tells you why it is the Sefer Geula. and why Klal Yisrael has to identify itself, its very existence has to be identified with Gula. With Gula. And who really summed it up? Moshe Rabbeinu and Varm. V'shivim nefesh yodah v'asecha Mitzrayim. V'hata samcha Hashem v'kecha kechach v'yashamayim l'rav. What does it mean? It means that the Klal Yisrael must always know that they never were anything. It was b'shivim b'mseim ma'ot yodah v'asecha Mitzrayim. And what is b'mseim ma'ot? It means the element of nationhood and geula emerge simultaneously. And that's really the next parasha. Vero Avon Yisrael Yagav Kel Shikai. The Gaalti Eschem Bezroa and Tuya. The Gaalti Vatsesi, the four Lashonos of Gula. But why the four Lashonos? The four Lashonos is an emphasis. It's an emphasis on the fact that the nation had to be identified as a nation of Gula. Without this, without these events occurring the way they did, you see, we would not be considered Nigolim. We would not be, our identity as a nation would not be intrinsically tied to Gula. And what is really the relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that we're Nigolim. That's the very identity. That's our identity. If we have any other identity other than being Nigolim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Goel Yisrael, then it's a false, then our existence is based on a false idea, a false notion. That is the concept that had to be created, had to come into existence. And that's why the Ashgacha, the destination, from the historical standpoint, already mentioned, the Torah mentioned the events. But in Sefer Shemos, the Torah recaptures, it recounts once more from a different framework to emphasize the Sefer HaGeula demanded that the Ashgacha had that destination of Mitzrayim and Vatimolei Oretz Osam, the substance of the nation. The substance of the nation was produced, came about when there was no nation, when there was no nationhood. On the contrary, they're the lowest class of people, and they dispersed in the land, and then they became a nation. Nationhood and geula had to be identical. It's an interesting thing. And you see there's halacha, an important halacha that's based on this. What's the halacha? There's one halacha that's based on this. It's very important. Smichas geula tefillah. Exactly. And that's why you say Kriya Shema. You have Kriya Shema and Baruch HaTor Hashem Goal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Goel Yisrael, the only Goel of Yisrael, and Geula is tied, and our existence is tied only to His Geula. And then, what does Rashi say in Brachas? What's the idea of Smichas Geula Tefillah, Rashi's in Brachas? He says, because now you're at the Melech, you're at the door of the Melech, Rashi says, and that is the time when you should be omed b'tefillah, right? Usmichas gula tefillah roms adov v'sefer tilim. Dechsev ad Hashem tzuri v'goali. V'somach lei yanchad Hashem b'yom tzarav. Armin v'brachas Hashemi. Mishen esomach gula tefillah mo doma la'ov v'shel melach. Shebo v'dofak al pischo shel melach. Yotza melach u'motza shehiflig. Afu hiflig. Elo yiyah odom mekarev la'kadosh baruch hu. Elov umaratzeu b'sishbachos v'kilusin shel yitzias Mitzrayim. Vumiskare velov, ubaodo kore velov, yeshlo letvaratzrachov. That's what Rashi means. That's the idea of smichas gula tefillah. Because the whole shvacha shel makom, it's an amazing thing. You see, you had this tied not only in Tarsha b'chsav, but it will go straight through in Tarsha b'al peh, continues, and it's intricately tied to tefillah. It's an amazing thing. Intricately tied to tefillah. That the shvacha shel makom, what is the highest shvacha shel makom? Some of gula tefillah. It means the recognition of Hashem tzuri v'goali. Hashem tzuri v'goali, not only as a yochid, but greater as an umah, as a nation. And that's why Yetzias Mitzrayim, Goal Yisrael, Goal Yisrael in the past, and Goal Yisrael in the future. Goal Yisrael. Hashem tzuri v'goali. That is the idea. That is the only appropriate idea that an individual must have when he thinks of himself and Klal Yisrael, as a member of Klal Yisrael, the member of the Klal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Hashem Tzuri V'Gali. That's the whole idea. And in order that the nation should recognize that idea of Hashem Tzuri V'Gali, so it was necessary to have the migration into Mitzrayim under two Ashgachas, of Ishu Veso Ba'u, and the other, the Yosef Hoyimus. I was already there, so that was necessary. That Ashgacha wasn't necessary vis-a-vis Yosef. That's basically that's the idea. The Shivim Nefesh Yodav Asach Mitzrayim V'ata Somchad Hashem L'Kecha K'chaycha Hashemayim L'Rav. So the Sefer HaGeula, the way the parsha starts off, is really the whole fundamental principle. The fundamental principle and the underlying concept of our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we were numerous before, that idea would never emerge. The idea can only emerge due to the fact that simultaneously the nation came into, we were nothing, we were not a nation in substance until that moment, till the moment of Gula. That's it, the end of Parsha. In fact, you see what the next Parsha says, Vayokom Melech Chodesh al Mitzrayim asher lo yodeh se'aseh, Vayomer el Amo, Hinei Am B'nei Yisrael Rav Otzim Yimeno. Am B'nei Yisrael, the substance of an Am came into existence only over here, not before. There was no substance. But it's an interesting thing. So you really have two, in the structure, that's what the Parsha is teaching. In the structure of Klal Yisrael, there were two levels. One was the emergence of the ideas of the nation, and the second was the substance of the nation, That's what the Balagot is. Ravova ketzamach hasod in the satich, vatirbi vatigdumi vatavoy ba'di adoyim, shodayim nechonus erach semech vat erum v'erya. What does it mean? The substance. The substance was ready. That's what it means. The substance was forged in Mitzrayim. Yeah. But there's an interesting connection. So you see the theme which is mentioned in Torah Shebachsav, as I said, found its way into the tefillah of every Jew in every day. It's an amazing thing. It shows you an interesting thing about tefillah. That tefillah as a personal entity is overshadowed by tefillah as a component of the Am. That's an interesting thing. Why? Because, as I mentioned, the whole idea of the Am is when the Am came into existence, it's a new vehicle of Kiddush Hashem. So therefore, the vehicle of Kiddush Hashem came about through Klal Yisrael becoming an Ummah. When Klal Yisrael became an Ummah, a new vehicle of Kiddush Hashem was brought into existence in the world that never existed before. And that should overshadow every individual's personal desires and whims and whatever the individual wants. So that's why we have in our system of tefillah the smichas geula letefillah. It means if it's just the individual wants to ask for his needs, that's a very low level already. That's a low level of tefillah. The real level of tefillah is a level where the individual is intricately tied to the idea of Kiddush Hashem. He's tied to the idea of Kiddush Hashem, so the Kiddush Hashem is through the coming into existence of Klal Yisrael, and the coming into existence of Klal Yisrael can only really bring to the individual Shvach HaShem Makom when he recognizes that the Geula, the Sefer HaGeula, and Hashem Tzuri V'Goali, and the Geulas Mitzrayim. That's why Geulas Mitzrayim has to precede Tefillah. It's a different kind of Tefillah, really. It's a different kind of Tefillah. If a person is lost in his own personal needs, he will not appreciate Smichas Geula Tefillah. If a person is living in the broader spectrum of the world of the objective of the Ashgacha, so then you must have Smichas Geula Tefillah. Gaal Yisrael, Hashem Tzuri Gaali, Gaal Yisrael is a necessity, and it's the highest element of the Shvach HaShemotam. It throws a whole different picture emerges with regard to tefillah. And that then, and that idea really, that whole concept is in this very first parsha. This parsha really gives you the insight into that idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
The question like this. So the question is, it's an interesting thing, but there is a tie. There is a tie, you see, not only in tefillah, but this idea that we're mentioning, that the Ummah was created on two levels. First came the ideas, and then came the Am HaNigal. Then came the Am that cannot be identified. The term, the Am Yisrael, without Geula is non-existent. Am and Geula is the same thing. Exact same thing. And that can only be because of the way it happened. But it's an interesting thing. There is a further tie between those two. It's a very significant idea. That first there were the ideas, and then there was the Am. First there were the ideas, and not only there were the ideas, but that was, in other words, there are two stages. The first stage of the Ashgacha was that the proper ideas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be arrived at. That was the first element, the first stage. The second was the creation of the Am itself as an Ummah. Two separate stages. Where do you see that idea? Where do you see the unification of those two elements? So this concept. So you see it really in the Rambam in Hilchos Kriyas Shema. Yep, the Rambam's like this. Paragraph Lachadalat. Akare Kriyas Shema Kishu Gomer Pasuk Rishon Omer Balachash Baruch Shem Kvamukusa Lolam Voyer V'chozev Akare Kedarko. Then he goes back and he reads the parsha like he started. So he interrupts with that one Pasuk Balachash Baruch Shem Kvamukusa Lolam Voyer. And then it says, "V'korek darko v'haftes on Hashem alakecha atzofa." And the Ram says, "V'lama korin came." Why do we read Krishna this way? So the Rambam says, "Mesoresi biyadenu shebishor shekibetz Yaakov vinu es bonov b'mitzrayim b'shas misaso tzivim v'zirzim al yichud Hashem v'al derech Hashem sheholach bo Avram v'Yitzchak oviv." The Sholosom V'Omar Lahem Bonai Shema Yesh Bochem Paslus Misha Eina Omed Imi B'Yichud Hashem Ke'inyin She'Omar Lanu Moshe Rabbeinu. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu said, Pen Yesh Bochem Ish O Isha O Mishpacha Sheva Hashem Levan Apana Yomid Amed Hashem Alekenu Olechas Lavo Desalei Agayim Ohem. The same way the Rambam says. He has an equation there. Interesting. Does Rambam say the same way? What's the same way as Moshe Rabbeinu? Anu kulam v'amru, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Kloma, Shema mimenu avinu Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Pasach hazokin v'amar, Baruch Shem v'amuchus l'olam v'oy. Lefichoch nogu kol Yisrael l'amar, Shevach, Sheshibach bo Yisrael hazokin, Achar pasach zeh. You see. Well, what is the Ram? In the Rambam, you see that there's, what is Rambam showing you? Two stages. The first stage, there were two stages. One stage, one tekufa, one objective of the Ashgacha was concluded with who? Yaakov Vano, because he was Mekabetz then. That was before he was Niftar. He was Mekabetz then. Why? To make sure that the first stage of the Ashgacha was complete. Namely, that this is a group that is devoted to Yichud Hashem, to the idea of Yichud Hashem, and that they're committed to Yichud Hashem. That's the Kibetz B'Shas Misoso Tzivim V'Zirzim Al Yichud Hashem V'Alderech Hashem Shalach Bavram V'Yitzchak Oviv V'Sholosom V'Yom Olohem Bonai Shemo Yeish Bochem Paslos Mishen Omed Yimi B'Yichud Hashem Kinyin Shamalon Moshe Rabbeinu. What is Kinyin Shamalon Moshe Rabbeinu? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was the second stage. The second stage was the Ummah. In both stages, you see they're parallel. You see they're parallel. In other words, Yaakov Avinu knew b'self yomov that he fulfilled the first element of the Ummah, and that is making sure that the ideas were correctly accepted among his sons, among the Bnei Yaakov. And then the next stage was the Am HaNigol, which emerged through Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu did the same thing. Pen Yesh Bochem, Isha Isha, Omishpacha, Shevet Hashem, Levano, Pana, Yom, Yom, Hashem, Alekeinu. Same exact thing. It's a repetition. Why the repetition? One is in the framework of the first of the Avos, that stage was concluded, and he had to be sure that it was the leader had to be sure, Yaakov Avinu had to be sure that it was concluded properly. And when Moshe Rabbeinu completed the second stage, when the Am HaNigol emerged, again Moshe Rabbeinu had to make sure that it came to its proper conclusion. And the proper conclusion is the same enunciation of Shema Yisrael Lord Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Moshe Rabbeinu said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and the Bnei Yaakov said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The two segments are parallel. It's an interesting thing. So apparently this is a, why does this fit into Kriya Shema? I mean, why does it fit into Kriya Shema? So it demonstrates that the Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim is not complete. Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim is not complete unless you have this recognition. The objective of the Ashgacha in forging Klal Yisrael as an Ummah and as an entity. If you don't understand that, if you don't have a recognition of that, it's lacking in Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. That's why Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim is tied intrinsically to Gulas Mitzrayim. That's correct. It lacks in Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. It's an interesting thing. The knowledge of the first Parsha, the idea that the first Parsha in the Sefer Agula sets forth, the first Parsha gives the framework of the Yesod of the Am HaNigol, and the idea that there were two stages, and in both stages, the idea of Yichud Hashem was paramount and central, the central idea in both stages. That's a part of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. If a person doesn't know that, he doesn't have the idea, doesn't understand that, so then he's lacking Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim is not just a philosophical Yichud Hashem, but it's a Yichud Hashem b'nogeya to Klal Yisrael. How Klal Yisrael is tied to the Yichud Hashem. It's not just simply a philosophical pronouncement, but it's how we are bound to the idea of Yichud Hashem. So we're bound to the idea of Yichud Hashem, we have to know the history. That there were two stages, and the first stage was the completion of the idea of Yichud Hashem, that was Yaakov Abanov, and then once again as an Ummah was repeated. The same idea was repeated, and Moshe Rabbeinu made sure that this entity is not going to just leave the people before he's 100% sure that this entity, this idea of Yichud Hashem, is accepted by the whole Ummah, the same idea of Yaakov Abanov. And that's why in Krishma you say Baruch Shein Kvod Malchus Olam Vod, and that's a part of the Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. And if you don't have that, you're lacking in Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, because Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim is not just a philosophical pronouncement, but it's a statement b'nogeya to our objective and the realization and understanding of our responsibility for the idea of Yichud Hashem. And how this came about in two stages. The stage of Yaakov Avonov, which was the forging of the ideas themselves without the physical body of the Ummah, and then again in the forming of the Ummah itself. And that is how we're tied to Yichud Hashem. We're tied to Yichud Hashem through both stages. Through the stage of the Avos and through the stage of the emergence, our emergence as an Ummah. That same idea. That's Kabbalah Samah Shemai. I just want to conclude with one thing. With the idea of Yichud Hashem, to understand the basic idea of Yichud Hashem, that the statement of Ad Hashem Echad, you have in Yigdal, you have the Yigimel Ikarm in Yigdal. In Yigdal you have the Yigimel Ikarm. That's why the Rav mentioned that you shouldn't say it after the Tefillah, because that is an imitation of Goyim, because Goyim say their catechisms after they get finished praying. You see? But you see, in our Siddur, it's in the beginning of the Tefillah. It's in the beginning of the Tefillah. What's the difference? I'll tell you what the difference is. What's the difference between us, Lahavdil, and the Goyim? Besides the fact that they have no, I mean, there's nothing to speak about because they have nonsensical ideas. But I want to show you. I just want to show you something. Their idea is that they have to have a commitment to their religious beliefs. So therefore, they want to make sure that they're committed to these notions. So therefore, they enunciate the notions. That's all you have to do, enunciate these notions. With us, it's not an enunciation of notions. With us, it's havona. There's no commitment to us to a fixed, simple statements. I mean, that's not what we maintain. We're committed to a system of infinite chokma. You can't summarize and say we're committed to A, B, C, D. Can't do that. That's why some people are against the Ani Mamins, because the Ani Mamins, he took all the ideas of the Gimli Karim, and then you just summarize them. We don't know who did it, but the Rambam says you can't do that. These ideas, the way the Rambam, you can't just take a Rambam and make a synopsis of what the Rambam said. You can't make a synopsis. He made the best synopsis. Anything you take out of there, you're Gorea. So we don't have an idea of a synopsis to some simple notions. We don't say Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad is something you could just say simply. It's infinite chachma, endless chachma, endless chachma. So that's why before tefillah is the place that a person, you have Adon Olam and Yigdal before tefillah, is before a person's Omid Lifnei Hashem, so then he has to summon up insofar as his level of understanding is, insofar as his idea of Yichud Hashem, you see, insofar as he can, then he's Omid B'tefillah, Dal Lifnei Miyata Omid. But that's Lahavdil, their idea is just to make sure they're committed to a number of nonsensical belief system. That's Klal Yisrael doesn't have such thing. We have a commitment to ideas of infinite chachma. And that's why before Dalif Nei Miyata Omeid, before the tefillah, the person has to think of who is Lifnei Miyata Omeid. And insofar as he's capable to understand, to have das and understand that Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is a simple pasuk. It's a pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one that understood the pasuk fully. So by us it's a whole different concept. That's why in the Yigdal, if you take a look in the Yigdal, it's an interesting thing. What is it? Yigdal Elokim Chai V'Yishtavach Nimtza Ve'Ein Eisel Mitzuyusel. Outside the realm of time doesn't apply to God. What is the next one? Echad ve'ein yochid ki yichudo nelam, and then an interesting statement: v'gam ein sof liachduso. What does it mean? Ein sof liachduso. What does ein sof have to do with achduso? You see, with achduso. Achduso echad Hashem echad. But the answer is, and this is what I didn't have a chance to. I should say I omitted last week. My mistake. I should have concluded now. But the idea is like this: in Echad, really, in Hashem Echad is not a statement like any ordinary statement. It has no finality. In other words, when you say Echad, it's not like you're giving a description to something. It's not the same. If you can't, like the Rambam explains. it can't even oneness cannot be ascribed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One, because oneness is something. So then you go, then it'll come out that you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and his oneness, as if oneness is a characteristic. And that's not one anymore. Then it's not one, you see? So the idea, that's what he means. The Ein Sof li Achduso. Achduso, when we say Achduso, it means, the Achduso means it has no fixed, it's not a fixed appellation. It means it's a way of recognizing, of bringing into the realm of Ein Sof, you see. That's what it means. Ein Sof li Achduso. It's not a fixed statement. It really, at a Shem Echor, embraces three categories. The meaning of Echad essentially has, in ordinary terms, Echad means, for instance, Vayervoki Yom Echad. What does it mean Vayervoki Yom Echad? One day. What does it mean one day? You know, the Torah doesn't say Yom Rishon, the Farshim say. Well, the Torah doesn't say Yom Rishon, it says Yom Echad. Why doesn't it say Yom Rishon? Why does it say Yom Echad? See, I mentioned one time, because the Rav said, from a logical standpoint, it has to be that way. Because when you only have one, it's not a first. You only have a first when you have a series. And when it came into existence the first day, so there's, you can't say Yom Rishon. There's no Rishon. There's no order yet. There's no so you can't follow the numbers in an orderly fashion. So, but the, excuse me.
Relative.
Yeah, one. If you say first, it means first has to have a series in existence. But Yom Echad, there was nothing in existence. There was nothing else. But I want to elaborate a little more on that. You see, it's not simply a matter of logic. Not just a matter of a logical impossibility. But when it says Yom Echad, it means a unique thing. Yom Echad. It was one thing. It was a unique, only, and only thing that at that time. What it means like this in Chochmas Hashem, so it means there were six yomim. Each yom had its own characteristic, its own objective. It was a unified entity. It was a stage with an objective, and an objective was fulfilled. If it would just say Yom Rishon, it would be taken away, even forget about the logics of it. But besides that, the Yom Echad means it was a unique, only event. In other words, when it was a stage in development. A stage. So there was never a stage before that. This is Yom Echad. Yom Echad means that there was an objective and a system, and it reached its objective, and that's the first and only, in the terms of the universe, that's the first and only type of thing like that that ever existed. Okay, at that time. You follow? That was, so, and that's really the idea of Vayah Hashem Kitov. What does Kitov mean? Kitov means that it fulfilled its objective. Dibur Torah Kol Shemini Adam. But what does it mean? It means that there was a system that was brought into existence with characteristics, everything was logically integrated, and there was an objective, and then it came to a conclusion, and that was, in that time you had one, only one entity of the stage in creation. You follow? So Echad means one to the exclusion of anything else. You follow? When we say Hashem Echad, of course, it means that. It means Atar Es L'Las Hashem Elokim Ein Od Melvado, which means that any kind of projections onto reality, other projections are non-existent, because only He exists. He's the only thing that's real. Everything else is non-existent, fantasy, illusion. It's a denial and exclusion of everything else. But then Echad you have in another sense. For instance, the chibarto es ohel v'hoyo echad. So what does it mean? It means that it means the chibarto es ohel echad means an internal echad. An internal echad, you see? It means to say that the thing conceptually is one thing. That means that when you look at it that way, there's no plurality in it. It means before you have the Mishkan combined, so there's many components. Correct? Many components. The Chibartos Ol Voyachot means now, they're not components, now there's a unification. Okay? That again is incorporated in the idea of Hashem Echad. The Rambam says that Eino Mischalik. He's not a composition. Eino Mischalik, which means to say basically that he's not physical. He's not a composition. He's not physical. And the third idea, is Echad Nelom V'gam Ein Sof V'Yachduso. That even oneness, there is no plurality at all, so it's there is no fixed meaning to the oneness. So oneness means, that's what the Rambam says. When we say Hashem Achad, it means what Lashon Rambam, b'chol tzad u'b'chol pina. It's not a oneness that can find its mark, so to speak. It can find its definition. It's not a definitive oneness. It's not subject to definition. So it's ain't self. Cannot define it. It's an indefinable oneness. So really, the Yichud Hashem incorporates three things. Einod Novado, that's one. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Einod Guf Lo Yasigu Maisei Aguf. That's the second idea. And the third idea is that it's Nelom V'gam Ein Sof Liachduso. That this Echad is not like an Echad in the physical world where it finds itself in the form of a definition. It's not a definition. It's infinite. Cannot be defined. Ein Sof Liachduso. Those are the three ideas of Hashem Echad. But, I mean, the amazing thing is that you see how Yadus, how we can't speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, of course, is unknowable. But the only phrase, the one phrase that we can use, because it is self-annihilating, so to speak, is Ar Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad is the one phrase that is appropriate, because in that phrase, it's self-annihilating. It annihilates the very definition that it presents, because Echad means no plurality. No plurality is a denial even of a fixed idea of oneness. So the Torah used that the one expression, because otherwise it's impossible to talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They see the one legitimate statement is that Hashem Echad, and that's really what Yaakov Uvonov. They knew that from their understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what they answered when Yaakov said, maybe there is someone that isn't with me in the Yichud. Shema Yisrael, Ad Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. They demonstrated that they had the chokhmah of knowing that there's only one proper expression. And Hashem Echad is kolel all of the metaphysics in the Yisori Adas in that one phrase. The only phrase that a human being can use, which actually expresses Echad Ve'in Yochid Ki Yichudo Nelom V'gam Ein Sof Liachduso. That's the only legitimate expression, and they came to it through their own Chachma, and that's why Yaakov Avinu was satisfied, because he knew that since they came to that idea, he knew that they were Osek in Yichud Hashem. He says maybe you're not Zirzeim al Yichud Hashem. They said, maybe someone here is not Imi B'Yichud. They said, no. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And they demonstrated the fact that they were involved in Chochmas HaYichud. And they knew that this is the only proper expression. And that was the expression that Moshe Rabbeinu used, Shema Yisrael Lord Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The exact same phrase, which is the only way to express the Yesod Ados of Yichud Hashem. Okay. I'd like to continue from where we left off last time. Last time we were talking about the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, and Sefer Shmos. Sefer Shmos, and we're talking about the first perek, and we showed how that perek basically gives the whole fundamental principle of the Sefer HaGeula, namely that the idea is that Klal Yisrael could never have been a nation before, and only emerged as a nation simultaneously with Geulas Mitzrayim. But they never, for us, history is very, very important. I mean, the events that took place were events that were really set up for Dore Doros of people to look back and to know what happened and to be able to relate properly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through those facts. So the Sefer HaGeula was really to demonstrate. There were two migrations, that's why it says V'Yosef Hoyo B'Mitzrayim, because these migrations had to take place. And Bnei Yisrael Par Vayishitzu Vayibu Vayasim Mod Maod Vatimali Aretz Osam. They were still in the state of Avdus when they multiplied, and then when they emerged as a nation, they emerged simultaneously as a nation in terms of the numbers, and as a nation in terms of an ideological entity. The ideological entity. Okay. So the ideological entity and the physical entity of the nation had to emerge simultaneously. That's what it means. The ideological and the physical nation is a physical body, and also it's an ideological entity, a certain way of life. So that's why, for instance, Lo Sechu B'chukas Hagoy. So a nation has a certain ideology. That's what keeps the group together, makes them a nation. So in our case, the physical entity and the ideological entity had to emerge simultaneously. Why? In order that our relationship to our Kadosh Baruch Hu, our relationship to our own existence, is only that our Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Goel. That is the center of everything. Goel Yisrael. The idea of Gula, that's the Sefer HaGeula. So our whole existence is tied, intrinsically tied, with Goel Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu is Goel Yisrael. The Gula, Sefer Gula. And that's how those first psukim, if you read them carefully, you see they set down that principle and that idea. If you read them carefully with the way Ishu Veso Bo'u and the Yosef Hayo B'Mitzrayim. But it's interesting, Rashi says something else on the Yosef Hayo B'Mitzrayim. Rashi, that was Apshav, the Yosef Hoyo B'Mitzrayim. Why did I say it was Hoyo? Because there were two migrations, and both were necessary. But the Rashi says, Yosef Hoyo B'Mitzrayim, Valohu Vonav Hoyo B'Chol Shivim, Uma Bolalam Beyu, V'chilo Yina Yodim Shehu Hoyo B'Mitzrayim, Ela Lo Diachot Tzidkoso Shol Yosef, Hu Yosef Haroa Son Oviv, Hu Yosef Shehoye B'Mitzrayim V'Nasa Melech V'Omad B'Tzidka. Okay. I mean, on the surface it sounds like a pshat that's really removed from the Pshuta Shel Mikra, and according to the way we explained, there's a very good reason why I had to say V'Yosef Haye B'Mitzrayim, because he was there already, and then there was another migration. We see that wasn't a simple thing. Yaakov Vina had questions about it. He didn't run to see his son Yosef. Yosef was very adamant about it. V'gartem lo'ovi eskol k'vod Mitzrayim, u'mihartem v'aradtem esovi heina. But Yaakov took his time. He stopped on the way. He had a Mariana Vua. So Tov HaKadosh Baruch Hu assured him, Anochi eirim chon esraimo v'anochi al chon gamolo. So it was apparently Yaakov in his mind it wasn't such a simple matter. It was a question. because the whole destiny of the Ummah was really his responsibility. So he had other considerations besides just seeing his son. But it was Malamed. What Balagoda says, Vayer and say Onas al Piyadibor. So it was Onas al Piyadibor. Once he recognized it was Onas al Piyadibor, so then he submitted. It's not his responsibility anymore. Now it's Onas al Piyadibor. So that's it. So the Mari Nevuah coerced him and took away from him the responsibility of being concerned about the destiny of the Ummah in going down to Mitzrayim. But what was the purpose? The purpose is expressed in the first parsha, in the Sefer Agula, because that was really the Ashgacha, that the Ummah should never be an Ummah, and the multiplication of the people should take place at a time when they are in Avdus, so they could never feel that they were an Ummah, and then simultaneously the Gula brought the proper ideology through the Limud HaTorah that Moshe Rabbeinu taught Klal Yisrael, and the whole nation emerged as an Ummah that was Nigal by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the very identity of the Ummah is really the essence and the existence of the Ummah, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Goel Yisrael, Baruch Atah Hashem Goel Yisrael. Now we said this theme is not really is no small matter. And really it explains the Rashi. I mentioned last night Rashi and Brachas, but I think it's worthwhile to take a look carefully at the Rashi over there. Because Rashi says like this. Rashi says, the Gemara says, Davdala and Vez. Damar b'yechanan, Ezeh ben olam abo, Zeh asomach gulu tfilo shel arvis. Okay. So, smichas gulu tfilo, is a basic principle in tefillah. It's not just an accidental feature, but it's really, it's a yesod in tefillah. Zeh ben olam haba. So Rabbi Yechanan says, even by arvus he's chayev. So Rashi says, zeh asomech v'kolshkein deshachris. It doesn't mean to say ben olam haba if you say gulu tefillah by arvus and not shachris. No, shachris is kolshkein. So the ben olam haba is really smichas gulu tefillah. But he said that Ben Olam Haba includes not just Shachris, but also Arvis. When Chazal says Ben Olam Haba, I mean, you see, it's a serious matter. So Rashi explains, what's the significance of Smechas Gula Tefillah? He says, the way it is. He says, the Iker Gula Tefillah is Shachris Havik, excuse me, Mochras HaPesach, Yatz B'nei Yisrael. Now it's like this. Smechas Gula Tefillah Ramza David B'Sefer Tehillim, Chsiv HaRashem Tzuri V'Goali, V'Samach Lei, Yan Chor Hashem Biyom Tzora. So that means when you misfollow. Harminu Bebrachas Yisrael and Misha Eina Samach Gula Tefillah Lamo Doma Liyov Al Shel Melech Shebo V'Dofak Al Pischo Shel Melech. So he went to the Melech's door and he knocked on the door. Yotza Melech Umotza Shehiflig. So if he just does the Brachas, the Birkas Krishma to Goy Yisrael, and then he doesn't dive until later, so it's as if the Melech came to the door, opened the door, and he sees he's not there anymore. Ela, ye odom mekarev lakadosh baruch hu elav. Mekarev lakadosh baruch hu elav. Umeratzeyu b'sishbochos v'kilusin shel yitzias mitzrayim. V'umiskarev elav. V'umiskarev. Uba'odo korev elav. Yeshlo litvo atzrachov. So that's what Rashi says. So what is it? So what does it mean? So it means to say that the Shvacho Shel Makom, the Shvacho Shel Makom is what creates Kiruv LaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then when the person is Miskarev, so that's the time to be Shel Tzracha. But why is the Kiruv only Gulas Mitzrayim? It's an interesting thing. The Kiruv, you think other Shvachas, and many Shvachas, if you ask a person, okay, now you should be Shabbat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you'll be Miskarev Elov, and then you should be on the Betfilah. You think of many, many things. Personal things. Personal Haidois and Tishbachis. But no, these are all excluded. The only thing that's the proper Shevach Vado is Gulas Mitzrayim. Why? Because it shows you that is an amazing idea in Yahadus, that which is really counterintuitive, because most people would think that Shishbachos would be more of a personal nature, but our Shevach, Shvacha Shel Makom, is really expressed in the highest degree in how HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to the Ummah. That's the ultimate Shvacha Shel Makom. That's the Shvacha Shel Makom. Not the personal, but the Shvacha Shel Makom in terms of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to the Ummah Yisraelis. So how does he relate to Klal Yisrael? What is the very essence of our relationship? It's based upon the very essence of our existence, which is Hashem Tzuri V'Goali, Geulas Mitzrayim. That is the highest Shevach. The highest Shevach is Yahadus, as I said, it's counterintuitive. Yahadus goes against what a person would normally want to do. Normally a person would give his own personal nature. No, not personal. Yeshiros HaShishbachos, the highest Shevach, is in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship to Klal Yisrael. That is the Shevach. And if a person can't remove himself from the personal plane and can't raise himself above the level of the personal and view objectively Shvacha Shel Makom, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Goel Yisrael, then really his Amida B'Tfila is lacking, seriously lacking. So the smichas gula tefillah, that is the person that's the ben olam haba. The person that recognizes that shvacha shel makom is not significant, his personal relationship. But what is significant is the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu olam haba. And that's where a person should be mishabeach. That's the area of shevach. And that's the area where the person has to sense shvacha shel makom. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Goel Yisrael, Geulas Mit, and Goel Yisrael means the Geula is the very inception and the essence of our existence. And that's really the Sefer Geula that's in Shemot. So you see that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, the Nevi'im, took the theme from the Sefer Geula and they rendered it the very essence and the core of the Tefillah. A person who, that's a Rashi, a person that says, gets finished with the brachas of Birchas Krishma, and then he davens later, so he's not some gula tefillah. It's as if the Melech counts as on matzah shehiflig, because he was miskarvelov. So miskarvelov, that's the time he should be. That's the proper framework where the person should be omed b'tefillah. In the framework of Shvacha Shel Makom, not personal, but Shvacha Shel Makom in terms of our existence as an Ummah Yisrael, that is the greatest Chesed Hashem, and that's where Kadosh Baruch Hu revealed Himself as Goel Yisrael, and He revealed Himself to us as the Goel, and that is the highest Shevach, and that is the platform upon which the person should be mispalam. That's the basis. He is so. So Geulas Mitzrayim is so yadis. But let me go back to what I said before. But Rashi learns differently. Rashi says that we show through the tzukh of Yosef Ayyad Mitzrayim. But Rashi says something different of Yosef Ayyad Mitzrayim. Rashi says that it's telling you something else. Eloladiachot kasa shel Yosef. Who Yosef aros son of Aviv? Who Yosef shem Mitzrayim? V'nasa melef omesuk. I mean, why does Rashi have to put this in off here? What is the significance of it? Yeah, so I just want to mention that it's not a contradiction to what we said. Rashi is not contradicting what we said, because, like Rashi says in many places, that the Kepata Shifotze Tzela, that Divrei Torah, misparkim, kama yonim. In other words, the Torah was written in a way that one pasuk teaches you many things. So if you take a look carefully, Rashi, you see he's not contradicting what we said. He's not. Even though it's going on for Yosef Hoya b'Mitzrayim, that's something else. That's the Pshut HaShul Mikra. But what he's saying is, V'alohu if one of Hoya b'Klal Shivim, Rashi says. There's another problem here. It's true, okay, Yosef HaMitzrayim, the way we explain, is two migrations, and that's Ashgacha. There's no question about it. That's a Pshat in the Pasuk. But Rashi says, because it says, V'hikol Nefesh Yotze Yerach Yaakov Shivim Nefesh. So the Torah mentioned Shivim, and it didn't exclude Yosef. It mentioned the Shivim. So that would seem to be, inaccurate, because if you mention Shivim already, so then you, then it's not appropriate to say Yosef v'Hoyev Mitzrayim. So it should have eliminated Yosef or Bonov, and then it should have said V'Yosef v'Hoyev Mitzrayim. That's what Rashi says. So from the way the Pasuk said Shivim Nefesh, Rashi says something else could be derived, and that's Agav Orcha. Something else could be derived, and what is that? That is Yosef. Who Yosef? Why did the Torah write it that way to single him out from Echov? Because who Yosef? That's the drasha. So something else is derived from the pasuk. Yosef Mitzrayim. So the question, of course, is what is the significance at this point of mentioning that fact that Yosef Hoya? Who Yosef Shalom Betzitka? Okay, Yosef Shalom Betzitka. I mean, why do you have to mention that now? So Yosef was a big tzaddik. It's fine, but what's the significance right now in the beginning of the Sefer Agula? Why is it over here? You see. So you take a look back at the parshas. See an interesting thing. Start with Yosef. In the end of Vayigash, so the pasuk says, "Vayito makesef me'eretz Mitzrayim, me'eretz Kanan, vayavochom." It's a Vayigash memzayin tesvav. So the famine was ongoing in the land, and they were paying for the Yosef rationed the food, and he kept the supplies. And then they came, and then they paid for the food. They had to pay for the food, the Egyptians. But then vayitom akesef meretz Mitzrayim meretz Kanan vayavochom Mitzrayim al Yosef leimor havalonu lechem v'lomo nomus negdecho ki ofes kasef. There's no more money. Vayama Yosef havu mitnechem. So first he said havu mitnechem vet no lechem mitnechem am ofes kasef. Then vayavius mitnehem al Yosef. And then it says, "Vayiten lam Yosef lechem basusim uvemikne atzon uvemikne abakar vachamorim vayinalim balechem b'chol mikneim b'shana hi." It's an amazing thing. The Torah spends a lot of time about how Yosef is rationing, how he exercised his powers in terms of the rationing system. Then it says, "Vatita b'shana hi vayavoy lo b'shana shenis vayomer lo lechachei mayadoni." Kim tama kesef umikne abeim el adoni lo nishal ufnei adoni bultim v'yaseinu v'al maseinu. The only thing we have left is our own lives and our own and the land and loma namus leinecho. So why should we die? Gam anachna gam ad maseinu. So they said kinei osanu v'esad maseinu balachem v'niya anachnu v'ad maseinu avodim lefaro. It's interesting. Yosef didn't. He could have said that right away the first time. He didn't do it. He waited. He put them in a position that they should make the suggestion. It's an interesting thing. First he said, "Okay, so I'll take the mikneh." They didn't think about that. Take the mikneh. So then they realized there's nothing left, and he forced them into the position that they should say that now we'll give you our land. Well, it's an interesting thing. There's something extra there, because they should have just said. He says, "Kineya son of Esan Admasenu Balochem," but then they added. They said, "V'niya Nachnu Admasenu Avodim Lefaro." What does it mean, Avodim Lefaro? The sends there of Nechavano. So don't say, were they really Avodim? I mean, they weren't really Avodim. It says Vayikre, because in Shemos, in the beginning of Shemos, so you see the only Avodim were Kol Yisrael. But they apparently were not avodim. But nevertheless, the pasuk expresses off the way. It's an interesting thing. Then it says, "Vayiken Yosef es kol admas Mitzrayim lefaro." Okay, so Yosef, what he did was he bought up all the land. Why? Ki mochru Mitzrayim ish sodehu, ki chozak aleihem orav, vati ars lefaro. So then the land, they lost their private ownership of the land. And the land became owned by Pharaoh. Okay. Then it says, "V'esam mehevrasol la'or mitzevul mitzrayim." Like I said, the Torah spent a lot of time with it. So he took the people and he moved them around the land. Apparently the idea was he didn't want them to stay and see their own land. Then they'll feel this wouldn't be good for the people, because then they're going to feel it's their land and now they don't own it anymore. So he moved them around. So they should get used to the idea, except be able to accept the idea that they don't really have any private ownership of the land anymore. And then the pasuk says, "Rak admas kohanim lo kana," but the land of the kohanim, that he wasn't kana. Interesting. Every point of it, there's a spend time. The admas kohanim. Why? Ki chok la kohanim me'es paro, va'ochlu eschukam mashen nosalam paro. So, I mean, what's the difference, really? They didn't. So they. I mean, what's the significance of this? I mean, so they retained private, and well, what difference does it make if they did retain the land, they didn't retain the land? But he says, but the pasuk is telling you that he really would have taken away the admas kohanim as well. But the only thing is, he couldn't do it. Why couldn't he do it? Because chok la kohanim me'es paro. Because Paro had to give the Kohanim, he had to give them food. So he had a financial responsibility to the Kohanim. So why should they sell their land? There's no reason. The only reason they sold the Mitzvah, sold their land, was in order to get food. But the Kohanim, they already had, they had the security, because they were guaranteed food from Paro. So they didn't sell their land. Okay, then so Yom Yisrael, Min Kanisiyaschem Hayom, Vesad Maschem Lafaro. This is Kanisiyaschem Hayom, Vesad Maschem Lafaro. Hey Lochem Zeros Ratem as Adama. And then he established the tax, Vaya Batruos, and Satem Chamishis Lafaro, Varba Yodos Yilochem Zero, Hasod, Olochlechem, Lasheb, Vatechem, Velechol, Tapchem. So he established the tax. As the Rav one time mentioned, it's a very fair tax, 20%. 20% tax. Okay, people today be happy with that. Vayomru, they said, Hechi Yisono, Nimtso Chein Be'ene Adoni, Vayina Avon Lafaro. Interesting. Again, they said Avon. Vayosem Osa Yosef Lachok Ad Hayom Hazeh, Al Admas Ritzrayim Lafaro Lachomash. One-fifth to Paro. Rak Admas HaKohana, again, Rak Admas HaKohanam Levadom, Lo Hayso Lafaro. Interesting. What's the difference? Vayeshev Yisrael Beretz Mitzrayim Beretz Goshen Vayochzuvo Vayifru Vayibamad. Interesting thing. So yeah. So what does the Torah really? And that's really basically the end of the description of Yosef with the in terms of the being the chief financial Sheni Lamelach, the vizier of Egypt. In terms of his economic innovations, yeah. So what does the Torah tell you over here? It's an interesting thing. What the Torah tells you over here is that Yosef HaTzadik recognized that economics is not just a matter of economics. Economics, behind economics, is a very deep psychology. So the mark of a capitalistic society is individual ownership of property, of land. But it's not simply a matter of economics, it's a matter of an attitude towards money. The attitude is a very, very significant part of how people work and how they live and how they do business. So in a society where you have serfdom, so business doesn't work the same way. In a society where you have capitalism, there's a different attitude towards money. Yosef recognized that the economic situation reflects a certain psychological, a deep-rooted psychological sense of self-worth of the individual. And it wasn't just a matter of a game of just buying the land, but it really was a total change in the personalities. The economics that Yosef implemented was not for the economics per se. Because what's the difference? I mean, if they were kona, they weren't kona. But it means the moment, and that's why they said, "Vayinu avodim lafaro." Because that's why the mark of the capitalistic society is private ownership, essentially, of land. Of land. You see, for instance, that recognizes that as well in another place, where it says that when they came back, from when the Achim came back from Mitzrayim, and they were describing to Yaakov Avinu what happened. So the tragedy that happened. Vayavol Yaakovim, it's in Mikates Membeis Choftes. Vayavol Yaakovim Arzah Kanaan, Vayagidu lo Eis Kol HaKoros Osom Lemot. So they told him everything that happened. What do they say? Diber Ho'ish Adonai Ho'oretz, Itano Koshos. Adonai Ho'oretz. What does Adonai Ho'oretz mean? It means the sign of power, the mark of power, is the ownership of the land. See? Diboish Adonai Ho'oretz. This wasn't just an ordinary person that was talking to us. It was Adonai Ho'oretz. So the psychology behind ownership of land goes beyond the mere economics of the ownership. But it's something deeply rooted in the individual. If the individual owns his land, then he has a certain sense of economic self-worth. And that economic self-worth translates into economic power. And economics is, and that's why economics translates into power, because it affects the psychology of man. So what Yosef HaTzadik did in Mitzrayim was he really used the economics to reduce them to serfdom, basically. That's what he did. He reduced them. That's why they said, well, you know, avodim lefaro, because they knew the moment that they give up their individual ownership of the land, this is not just a financial arrangement, but it is a completely change. It is actually class distinction. And class distinction is a psychological phenomenon. Economics has to do very much, is very much tied with the way a person looks at himself and the way he feels about himself and the way he lives, and it affects his whole life. So Yosef HaTzadik, really, that's why it says that the ones they had no choice because they needed the food, so therefore what do? So they had to sell their land. So the pasuk makes it clear, Vayikin also Yosef, he made a kinyan, Mochru Mitzrayim Ish Sadeo, that once they sold their land, I mean, they lost their whole sense of private ownership, and their economic power, the sense of economic power was gone, and it was transferred completely to Paro. And that's why the pasuk says, but the Admas HaKohanim, no, they were in a different state of mind, because they didn't have to do that, because they were guaranteed, so they retained their own economic power. So it comes, so after Yosef HaTzadik, after he implemented this whole economic revolution, what happened? What happened was that there were really only two economic powers left in Mitzrayim. And essentially it was Paro, because he owned everything, he owned the whole land, and he was the main power, and the Kohanim also retained their own economic power. But the Torah is very careful. Why is the Torah so careful to spend so many psukim about who really cares about this? But the answer is, because this is a principle in human nature. It's a principle in human nature. And the Torah is everything. Hakolba. So the Torah recognizes that economics really is more than just finances. That if a person can have a lot of money and he could be a merchant, but if he doesn't own his own land, his sense of self-worth and the power that emerges from the economic situation will be completely reduced to the point, basically, that the Torah holds that if you don't have any private ownership of land, if somebody else owns your land, it's serfdom, and basically serfdom is his avdus. That's what it means. You know, Vadon Lefaro. So it came out there were only two powers left in Mitzrayim after Yosef got finished with his economic revisions, and that was.